Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a brief discussion of compelling legal issues and practical insights. Please note that the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be, nor should it be construed as legal advice. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. Please enjoy the program.
My name is Kelly Carden, and I'm an attorney in Ogletree Deacons, Connecticut and New York offices. Back in April, I recorded a podcast focused on providing some strategies for working from home. Now, as many people continue to work remotely and others are returning to the workplace, I thought it might be helpful to revisit the topic of working during the pandemic while the kids are at home. So no matter what you think of the crunch that the current situation is putting on working parents, the following is intended to provide you with some helpful tips. So as I mentioned in the first podcast, during the last 4.5 years, I've developed some strategies for working from home with kids. During that time, I've worked remotely a few days a week with my now almost 5-year-old son and 2.5-year-old daughter while working toward and making shareholder at Ogletree this year. So I don't claim to get the working with kids situation right all the time, certainly not, but hopefully you can benefit from my experience. So here we go. The first tip I have for you comes courtesy of my daughter. And the tip is, you're doing great, Mama.
Doing great, Mama.
So, this might be the most affirming piece of feedback I've ever received in my life. My 2.5-year-old loves to tell people that they're doing great, and it is wonderful. And if she knew you, she would tell you too, you are doing great. But I wanted to say this up front because if you're like me, sometimes you feel bombarded with the message that you should be able to do everything fantastically. And this isn't a new message. It's existed long before the challenges of the current pandemic. But I have been and am now more than ever a firm believer that you cannot do everything top-notch and you need to prioritize what it is you want to do well and focus on that. So in my case, two of my top priorities are my kids and my work, and I'm guessing that if you're listening to this podcast, these are top priorities for you too. So focus on your priorities, and as I discussed in the first podcast, create an organizational structure that's going to keep you on track to meet your goals. Let things that aren't important to you fall to the wayside. You're not going to excel at every single thing, and it's okay. Prioritize, focus on what's important, you're doing great. Which brings me to my next tip. Transitioning to the new normal, or who knows how many news I should be using at this point, right? So the lifting of some of the restrictions that went into the place at the beginning of the pandemic means that some employees have been called back to work. So while we transitioned to a new situation back in March or April, there's now another transition that families have been working through and grappling with. If you suddenly find yourself having to go to the workplace, this can present new challenges for you with respect to your children. At this point, I'm still mostly remote, and as I've said, my kids have always been used to having me around to some degree. But since the pandemic hit, their expectations that I'm not leaving the house have certainly increased. So, for example, if I go on a run these days, they ask for lots of hugs and kisses before I walk out the door, and I'm literally just going down the street. So if I'm going to be putting in a full day at the office, I think that it's been a bit stressful for them to deal with. So what I've been doing to work through this situation and what's worked for us in terms of making sure that the kids are dealing well with this is to make sure that they're sticking to a routine. So in the mornings when I'm going to the office, they still have their peanut butter waffles, they brush their teeth, they play on the deck, etc. I also check in with them throughout the day. And when I'm home at night, I make sure that we have time together to reconnect and catch up. Also, if I know I'm going to be home relatively early on a given day, my mom trick here, and this admittedly works best with little kids, is that I will take their cookie or their cake pop order before I leave for the day and then bring them back the requested treat when I get home. So it's not an everyday thing and it's not my most stellar mom moment, but I think that little perks can help ease any ill feelings and help the transition for them. So this is just for what it's worth, but I think when you're thinking about transitioning back into the workplace, the goal here is to really find ways to ease the transition for you and your kids. Next, I wanted to talk about hyper-scheduling. So nowadays, I feel like we have to schedule everything to make sure that things are getting done and that nothing is slipping through the cracks. And this is exhausting. right? So a friend and mentor of mine referred to the scheduling that we have to do nowadays as hyperscheduling. Because fine, sure, we always had to schedule things, but now we have to schedule with an extreme amount of precision. And I think that, you know, we have to be doing this on both a micro and a macro level. So on the macro level, you can be thinking about how you can use large chunks of time, for example, a week or a block of days. And then on the micro, you know, you can be thinking through how you're going to structure any given day. So on the macro level, when you're hyper scheduling, maybe this means finding a certain day or days on which you have reliable or at least more reliable childcare and then scheduling things for that day intentionally. So if you've returned to the workplace, these would obviously be the days when you would be going to work, right? Leaving the house and going to work. If you're still working remotely, these could be the days when you schedule your video conferences, your webinars, your calls, whatever it might be. And on those days, another tip that I've learned, and this one's been a little bit tough for me, but is that if you are working from home and you are fortunate enough to have childcare on a day, you have to be okay with what your childcare is doing, provided it's within reason, right? So if, for example, on days when I'm fortunate enough to have the childcare and I happen to pass through the kitchen and the kids are eating a less than nutritious lunch, that's fine. I'm out, I'm getting my coffee, I'm getting back to work. If someone else is on childcare, I'm focused on another priority in this example, work. So you also have to hyperschedule on a micro level, which as I mentioned, I'm using to refer to scheduling of a given day. So my summers pre-COVID tended to be a bit hectic because my town doesn't have a lot of preschool programs. So for several days a week, it would just be me and the kids. And I know it can be hard balancing watching kids in the summer when they have nothing or very little to do with work. And as I talked about in my first podcast on this topic, organization is key here, but you also need to be flexible. And when you're thinking through your organizational structure for a day, make sure that you're being really honest with yourself about at what times of day you're most productive and what kinds of tasks are best suited for which times of day. There are just some tasks that I'm going to be better at doing in the morning versus the afternoon, and so I try to structure my day accordingly. In terms of filling those long summer days, I think that projects are definitely your friend, as I'm sure many of you have already discovered. For example, some days my four-year-old will be working on a project, building a little train or a little wooden car. He loves those sort of package projects they have. He'll be working next to me at the kitchen table while I'm working. The other day, my two-year-old pushed this giant dollhouse she has into the kitchen so she could set up next to me and play by the kitchen table while I was working. Again, really, it's whatever works for you and your kids. But I think it's also very important to make sure that you schedule time when you are going to do something with them where they have your undivided attention. So for us in the summers, that typically means that we're going to take a trip to the town pool. We're big on going to the town pool. And on the days when we would go to the town pool, I'd make sure to structure the pool trip either around like lunchtime. So, you know, I'd either do lunch before or right after we would go to the pool or at the end of the day, because those times tend to be a bit quieter in terms of email traffic and calls. So the idea was, you know, there were times when I could get away to have that one-on-one time with the kids. And it didn't always work out. Of course not. You know, things happen, trips get delayed, things have to shift, right? There's that flexibility within the organizational structure that you kind of need. But it worked out well enough so that my almost five-year-old, he loves going to the pool. He's talking about wanting to go to the town pool. So it was a good experience for the kids, and it worked well in terms of letting me get the work that I needed to get done while being able to parent. Another point here is that once you have hyper-scheduled and, you know, you've figured out how you're going to fill your days, is that once you've done that, you've created expectations for yourself and you have some idea of what your day is going to look like so you can communicate those expectations to help instill a sense of normalcy. You can communicate your plans to your kids to help them feel calm, and you can communicate them to your employer so that your supervisor isn't looking for you when you're at the town pool. And on this point, my assistant basically always knows where I am at all times, even if I'm just out to get a coffee. I always let her know where I am just in case anyone's looking for me. And I think that this level of predictability and communication is really helpful and important in terms of setting yourself up for success. Recently, I heard someone coin the phrase, homeschooling is the new carpooling. And while it's the summer months and homeschooling is not as much of a concern right now as it is obviously when school is in session, I think the idea here is that households have to be focused on dividing childcare tasks in an equitable manner. So just as you would with a carpool situation, you need to make sure that tasks are being divided equally between all caretakers to ensure that everyone's feeling supported and everyone's getting their work done. Which brings me to my final point for today's podcast, which is self-care for everyone. So from my personal perspective, I feel like some things are getting better, but a lot of it is still hard. And not just for working parents, but for everyone, kids included. So make sure you're grabbing your moments of sunshine where you can. We as a family celebrate making it to Friday night by getting a bunch of takeout food and reflecting on the week and planning whatever feasible adventures and excitement we can conceive of for the upcoming week. Dance parties are great. We're big fans of those. Really, whatever makes you and your kids smile is what you should be doing. So thank you for listening. I hope some of this has been helpful, and take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.